Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local, sponsored by People's Bank.
Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce your host of Business Talk. He's editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here is George O'Brien.
Okay, welcome everyone to another episode of Business Talk. We have a terrific show for you today. I can't wait to get to it, but we will because we first need to hear a message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we are back. As promised, we have a terrific show for you today. We have with us today Joshua Garcia. He is the mayor of Holyoke. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you on the show. You are coming up on the first year of being mayor of Holyoke. You've been at this for 11 months and some change now, and it's been a very interesting year.
November 15th.
We want to talk a little bit about that. Yes.
November 15 was actually my first full year. So a year and a few months.
A year and a few months. Okay. I'm sorry.
Or so 8 months.
We have a lot to talk about. Holyoke is an intriguing city and there's lots of things happening. But first of all, just kind of talk about yourself a little bit. You are the city's first Hispanic Puerto Rican mayor. You've got a long background of working with and for the city. Talk a little bit about how you happen to be sitting in the mayor's office as we're doing this podcast.
Oh, great. Thanks, George. And as I tell people all the time, that although I am the first Puerto Rican mayor here in the city of Holyoke, where we have more Puerto Ricans per capita living in Holyoke than anywhere else in the world outside of the island of Puerto Rico, first and foremost, I'm a Holyoker. And no matter where you live in this city and where you come from, if you live in West Holyoke or South Holyoke, we're Holyokers. That just happens to be Puerto Rican, and I'm very proud of my roots and where I come from, but also very proud to be a Holyoker. Born and raised here in the city of Holyoke, I went through the public school system here, went on to Westfield State University and got both my bachelor's and master's degree, master's degree in public administration. Spent 5 years working for a local housing authority. From there, went on to work for the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission as the Municipal Services Manager, where I worked with local governments up and down the Pioneer Valley, understanding where their inefficiencies are and coming up with recommendations on how they can improve their municipal services and possibly achieve some level of economies of scale and improve the quality of life for everybody. From there, I went on to become the town administrator in a small town outside of Westfield called Blandford, where I got to take a lot of what I learned at my time at PVPC and put it into practice. I worked there for about 3.5 years. And when an opportunity came forward here in the city of Holyoke, my hometown, which is a much more longer story, George, than what I'm explaining now, but long story short, I was the 7th candidate. That pulled papers. I came into the race late. And here we are today, serving as the city's mayor.
Okay. Well, you came into this job with obviously some goals and aspirations. Do you want to talk about some of those and just talk about, where the city is at right now? I've been covering Holyoke for many, many years. I see a lot of energy. I see a changing city, changing for the better in a lot of different ways, but I'm not the mayor. So I want you to talk about Holyoke.
Well, so my campaign was a very different campaign than traditional campaigns we hear everywhere else. We ran a management campaign, and that was largely due to my own experience as town administrator. So, it wasn't, we stayed away from the traditional rhetoric around we need to improve our schools and support our teachers and we need to support our police and fire. And of course, no one disagrees with that. We all agree with that. But instead, I went on to share with the public concerns that came up in our most recent audits and previous audits, and how we have a negative free cash balance certified by the DOR for the last almost a decade, and how we've been budgeting to the levy limit, allowing no space for excess capacity and plan for our capital needs. And so it resonated well in the community. People at that point, when during that campaign, kind of felt it. I would tell people a lot of the issues that we see going on in our community is a symptom of a bigger problem, and it's a management problem. Every department in our local government depends on how well we operate internally, administratively. And, you know, from my experiences, and as I was growing in the town administration, obviously I paid attention to what was going back at home. And I'm like, you know, so I kind of saw where the writing was. People chose that. They went with it. And that's, you know, I strongly feel that people kind of felt that there's a lot of truth to that, which there was. Here we are 1 year later today. There are a number of things that we've achieved that hasn't been done in a very long time, that are signals that Holyoke is heading in a positive direction. This includes, again, when we put our budget together for this current fiscal year that we're in, it was a balanced budget. Before, the budget used to be $3 to $4 million over, and the pressure was put on the council to cut and balance it. And even if it was balanced, it was budgeted to the levy limit, offering no room to deal with shortfalls, no room to deal with capital needs. So it really created this disarray in our government. And not only did we submit a balanced budget, there was a surplus. We started a capital stabilization account. We put some money in that capital stabilization account. We've hired a consultant to help us with financial forecasting, which we're going to present a draft to the council sometime in January. We're also doing capital planning. We're working with the DLS to do financial management policies to be sure that no matter who's in this position as mayor, that we're following rules, policies, systems, and procedures identified in that policy and how we're governing internally. In turn, George, this impacts positively to all the departments that are really doing the important work on the community. So if we're talking about the needs in public safety, our needs in our education, infrastructure, streets, roads, sidewalks, our capital assets, large costs like vehicles, the conditions of our public buildings, every department is dependent on how well we're planning for those needs. And so a lot of what we've been focused on is middle out work. And, looking at some of these key indicators that, especially getting the feedback from the community of how things feel different right now than it has before, tell me that I think that the plan is working.
All right. Speaking of things feeling and looking differently, cannabis has certainly been a driving force in your economy and in, you know, actually changing the landscape in Holyoke in all kinds of different ways. I believe your predecessor joked that he liked to refer to Holyoke as the rolling paper city. I think we've told that story many times here. But of all the communities in this region, I think Holyoke has probably been most positively impacted by this industry more than any other. Kind of talk about cannabis in Holyoke and what we can see moving forward here.
Well, first of all, the legalization of cannabis in Massachusetts in general just brought another opportunity for Holyoke to really strengthen our commercial and manufacturing sectors. You know, when you think about Holyoke's history, the first planned industrial city in the United States, and we had a lot of commercial and industrial manufacturing type sectors here operating. And so with the deindustrialization and those businesses moving away, cannabis really offered the opportunity for us to rethink manufacturing. So, you know, this company came in and took old buildings that were either abandoned or unsafe and fixed them up and put them back to use. Now, it's important to note also, George, that I'm not saying that the cannabis industry is the savior of the city of Holyoke, but it's another piece to the puzzle of what we're trying to build here as far as the greater Holyoke ecosystem is concerned. You know, so between both cultivation as well as the retail of cannabis, you know, brings in, you know, kind of this mix options and opportunities for growth in the city. But, you know, no matter what happens with, and also not to mention the excise tax we collect through the sale of marijuana has definitely helped offer some flexibility in our budget. Another reason why we were able to, you know, it did help us submit that balanced budget we were talking about a little later, earlier on. You know, I know there's a lot of talk about like marijuana is not, it's, you know, I don't want to put too much hope that marijuana is going to save the city, but as we go forward with our planning, that, you know, we leverage every opportunity that this industry has for this city, and that we cultivate, no pun intended, that presence here to do secondary impacts as we try to, you know, grow our city, whether if it's bringing people into the city to live, shop, work, expanding our tax base and so forth. So, you know, I can't sit here and say that marijuana has had no impact. I think the former administration, you know, did very well in leading the charge and opening the floodgates for that here in this city. And here we are today, we make it as easy as possible for marijuana companies. There's no cap. It's a free market. People can come here if they have, mm-hmm. you know, as long as they have the capital and the planning and know how to. We have internal departments that streamline the process as much as possible to make sure that it's as easy as possible for any marijuana business that wants to open up here in the city of Holyoke. So we've embraced the concept wholeheartedly. So I give credit to the previous administration for doing exactly that. And we're continuing to support that in this administration.
Okay, good. So you're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local 413 and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking with Joshua Garcia. He is the mayor of Holyoke. We were just talking about cannabis and the profound impact it's had on the city. You mentioned it as being one piece of the puzzle, and it is definitely that. Another piece of the puzzle that I've noticed is a much greater focus on entrepreneurship and bringing more people in Holyoke into business ownership, working for themselves rather than working for someone else. You've got a very active agency in E4All, and this has been a priority in Holyoke. How has that kind of changed your landscape on Main Street and elsewhere? And what can we see moving forward here?
So with E4All, the entrepreneur program that it is, we have our greatest asset available to us in our city are the people. And everybody has some level of skills that they offer, that they can potentially offer to contribute to the greater growth of this city. You know, and they say the small business, the micro business is, you know, you hear Carlos Gonzalez when he was the president of the Latino Chamber of Commerce, businesses are the backbone of America. And there's a whole lot of truth to that. And, you know, it's the members of our community that make this community what it is. And in the subject area of a business, you know, if we're talking about revitalization of our downtown, you know, what does that look like? You know, do we want large companies, you know, that, you know, have the capacity, their businesses are elsewhere in the country and, you know, kind of these chains, or do we want to support more smaller mom and pop shops that live here, that send their kids to the school system here, keep their monies here, and then share their talent with the rest of the community? And so, you know, High Street is a focus, Main Street's a focus, the Ray Street area is a focus. There are different plans and initiatives going on throughout the core of our downtown area in that. And what E4All is doing just offers a pipeline to that. And so a lot of the work that I see going on, and again, you know, I'm just the lucky guy that gets to sit in the mayor's chair and support this, but the people doing the important work, the OPED office, Office of Planning and Economic Development, collaboratively with the Holyoke Chamber of Commerce, the staff at E4All. You know, they're all meeting regularly to learn how to leverage the downtown assets, you know, understanding what it is that we have and how we put people in those building structures to, you know, again, open up a business so that it contributes to that, that greater goal we're trying to achieve here, to have a downtown, a very viable downtown where people can visit, do some shopping, have dinner, go to a cafe, or whatever the case may be, or even do entertainment, depending on the business idea and the opportunities that that they might exist to grow here in the city of Holyoke. So entrepreneurship is a very important, again, referencing the piece to the puzzle, another piece to that puzzle in order to support and cultivate an ecosystem. So what we don't want to see happening is one business. We kind of learned this mistake with the Holyoke Mall, for example. I think leaders, which is great, we love them. They're our partners here, but it's not sustainable to have all your eggs in one basket dependent on one business like that. Because if the mall, and I'm not saying at all that they're talking about this, because from what I hear, they're doing very well. But if the mall decides to close, how do we offset that loss? And so we put too much on that. And what we need to do is diversify that a little more so that there's a better ecosystem that supports each other, to allow each other to grow. And if one business doesn't do well and decides to close, that it's not going to impact our overall economy and our local budget here in the city overall. So,
okay. So one more in the time that we have left, speaking of pieces to the puzzle, we had Donald Sanders on a few weeks ago talking about the Victory Theater. This is obviously a big piece of the puzzle in downtown Holyoke. And you've been credited with bringing some urgency to this issue and some energy to this issue and a resolution to get this done. What can we see happening in the next coming months in the year ahead?
So right now we have this particular project. I like to describe it as the cornerstone of our economic development opportunity in our downtown Holyoke. You know, this is a project, the capital planning, you know, has been going on for a while now, about 20 years. They've raised a little over $30 million. The target keeps moving because every year that passes, there's more and more inflation. They have currently a funding gap that there's a clear plan and what we need to do to help close that gap. And, you know, I've been backing this project 150% because we look at what theaters like this do in other communities. For example, and one of the most eye-opening experience I had was our bus trip to Proctor's in Schenectady, New York, and just kind of hearing about where Schenectady was and where they are today and what their theater has had, never mind arts and culture, although that's the focus of the Victory Theater, of projects like this. It's having that. But it's not just about arts and culture. It's about community. It's about vitality and it's education. It's business support. It's entrepreneurship. It's jobs. And so their story just sounded way too familiar. The skepticism that they heard, very familiar to what we hear here. And it really offered not just me, but a lot of the members that are supporting this project, it just offered all of us some hope that of what's possible, that it is possible, that it's not impossible to do this. You know, this project has an opportunity to not only offer that level of access to our community for education, entrepreneurship support, but also has the potential to bring in bodies into our downtown. The seating capacity there is about 1,600 people. And you can do all sorts of, you know, it's not just going to be shows. There's concerts. There's also going to be space for private events if you're having birthday parties or a wedding and you need space to do that. If it has an opportunity to bring bodies to our downtown, those people want to eat somewhere. They get hungry. They need to fill up gas somewhere. And they need to you know, explore other places. And so that's why I say, you know, this is the one opportunity we have given how far it is. This is not just conceptual idea anymore. They've raised capital. They've raised and have committed over $30 million. Like, it's not an idea no more. It's ripe now for construction phase. We just need to close this gap. And it's the only project right now that has the potential to come to fruition to achieve a lot of what I just described. So I'm very happy to support and pull my full weight behind this project. And I think people will come around and realize, you know, once this thing is built, 10 years pass, and, you know, that folks are going to say, wow, I didn't, you know, thank God we did this. Well, we're so happy we did this, especially for all those folks that are very skeptical on what they think might not happen. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what we can do. There are some plans in place currently that we're going to be announcing to offer more support to help close that gap and introduce some new members of the community that are working toward different fundraising efforts to help elevate public support and presence and visibility of this project into our community.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, and good luck with everything else in Holyoke, all those pieces to the puzzle. Thank you for coming on the show. Very insightful, and we have to have you back on soon to talk about Holyoke some more.
Great. Thanks, George. Thanks for having me. Okay.
Thank you, and thank you to all of you for tuning in. This has been another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local 413 and sponsored by People's Bank. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West. We'll see you next time.